Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Roswell, New Mexico, and learned golf from her dad, Domingo. In 1978, at age 21, she won five consecutive tournaments on the LPGA Tour and went on to win nine times that year. Golf Magazine named her the Golfer of the Decade for the years 1978 through 1987. She's known as the Arnold Palmer of ladies golf and the First Lady of golf. Her name? Nancy Lopez. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to the First Lady of Golf, Nancy Lopez. That's got a nice ring to it, Nancy.
Hey, Jack. How are you? Thank you.
Can we start by talking about your mom and your dad, Domingo and Marina, and your childhood, please?
Well, I was born in California, raised in Roswell, New Mexico. My dad owned an auto body repair shop and loves golf. My mom played golf just for her health, pretty much, and I was pretty much just the child that tagged along with them to the golf course, because back then they didn't have babysitters or nannies or things like that. They always took their kids with them, and I just would walk around with them. This was about age 7 when I would be walking with them while they were playing golf. And at that time, you know, just being with them was such a delight for me as a young person. And then eventually my dad decided to put a club in my hand, and I started swinging it. And the only lesson I ever got was from my father. When he looked at me, he said, "Every time you swing at the ball, make connection." And that was my first golf lesson or golf tip when I first started.
Nancy, through the years, you've loved your dad. He's a hero to you. He's your teacher. He was your best friend. Talk about your dad, Domingo.
My dad was really the reason I think I was successful in golf. And I probably could have been successful in anything because my dad was such a positive role model for me. Being Hispanic, he never felt like he couldn't do something, and he always encouraged me that no matter what color my skin was, as long as I had good work ethics and was a good person, I could go far in life. And that's how he taught me when I was playing golf. It was always positive. When we started practicing and playing together, if I didn't do something correctly, he always encouraged me, never made me feel like I had to play golf. He wanted me to love the game. And so when I was out there with him, he made it a lot of fun. You know, practicing was fun. His encouragement was always positive, like I said. And so I felt like pretty much when I was playing golf, I could do anything I wanted. And the positive thing was, you know, things like he would say, "Nancy, if you have a swing, you have a chance." He never felt like if I hit a bad shot that I could probably correct it by hitting the next shot better. So Dad was really my best friend, and when I was playing golf as a young person and playing with him quite often in the afternoons after school, my mom would pick me up from school and I'd change clothes on the way to the golf course, and she'd drop me off, and then Dad would come out later after he closed the shop about 5:30 and come out and practice with me. So he was, you know, really my best friend and really the person that made me feel like I could do anything in golf and in life.
If for any dad listening tonight that has daughters, what would you say to those dads?
Well, I think to all parents. You know, my dad was very encouraging. It wasn't, as I see many times nowadays on as an amateur, it's watching amateur golfers or even professional. There's so much pressure that's put on these athletes by their parents. My dad never did that. You know, he always had a hug for me. If I didn't play well, he knew I wasn't trying not to play well. He knew that I was trying my best. And I think sometimes I've seen and I've talked to players that are discouraged because their parents really put too much pressure on them. They don't allow their children to fail and to figure it out on their own. And my dad did that. If I didn't play well, like I said, he knew I was trying to do my best. But as I walked off the golf course and gave him that hug, he always hugged me and he said, "We'll just work a little harder." It was never, you know, "What were you thinking? Why did you do that?" You know, and being angry about it. And I think when young people that are playing, either amateur or professional, if they're afraid to fail, that's going to really, it will really determine how they're going to perform. And Dad was just never like that. He always found a positive out of a negative on the golf course and always encouraged me.
You spoke about playing the best, being the best. When you were 12 years old, you won the New Mexico State Women's Amateur Tournament. You were competing against adults, women twice your age. Nancy, how did you get so good at such a young age?
Well, I practiced a lot, but I loved golf. And my dad helped me love the game. And my mom encouraged me also. But I loved winning, and that was like my goal. I really wanted to win. And, you know, Dad always looked at me, he said, "If you give 100%, that's all you can do." And so I always tried to give 100%. And if there was something in my game that wasn't strong or was, you know, lacking and was weak, I just worked on it a little bit harder. And it was, to me, golf and winning, it's a lot mental. You can have the perfect golf swing, but if you don't have the mental part, it's going to be really tough to win. And like I said, my dad never made me feel like I couldn't win. He never made me feel like I, you know, when I failed, that I couldn't do better. and so, you know, playing golf and him encouraged me all the time. I felt very positive. And he told me one day I wasn't going to win every tournament I played in, but if I gave 100%, that's all that mattered. And so I always believed that's what I had to do. And, you know, at age 12, you're still young. You don't fear really anything. You might be a little nervous when you're playing in golf tournaments, but there was no fear there. You know, if I knocked a putt 5 feet by, I'm going to make it coming back, because I just never thought that I wasn't going to make the putt because I practiced all the time, and I loved it. And the only reason I feel like I played well is because I loved it. And my dad, he would always tell me, you know, if you play happy, you're going to play well. And with that, I've started a new company this year, Nancy Lopez Golf Adventures, and our motto is play happy. And I took that from what my dad taught me when I was playing the game, that I had to be happy when I was playing, because I wasn't going to always play well, but I always had to feel like I could hit the next shot better.
We're talking to Nancy Lopez, who won 47 tournaments, including three majors. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula, and we're with Nancy Lopez, who was named the Golfer of the Decade by Golf Magazine for the years 78 to 87. Nance, 1977, after your sophomore year at the University of Tulsa, you turned pro. And in February of 78, at the Bent Tree Classic, you win for the first time on the LPGA Tour. What was that experience like?
It was very exciting. Of course, I was very nervous. When you get on the LPGA Tour, you hope that you can win one tournament. That's kind of your goal. And I know that first year my goal is to win one tournament. And as I went to the event, and it's in Sarasota, Florida, and Bent Tree was the course that I won on, I remember being there and having the chance to win. My mother had just passed away the year before, so she never got to see me win on the LPGA Tour, but it was really a goal to set as I played on Sunday, knowing I had a chance to win that tournament and really wanting to dedicate it to my mom. My dad was not there. He was not able to be there for my first win, but it was very exciting, and the fans in Sarasota were tremendous. As a matter of fact, I won my first tournament there in 1978, and then the tournament there was there for a few years, and then it went away from Sarasota at Bent Tree. Then we come back years later, and I won my 35th at Bent Tree in Sarasota to get into the world, into the LPGA Hall of Fame, which was, you know, when you think about it, like, wow, that's kind of strange that happened that way. But I remember, you know, hitting the green, the last hole is a par five, hitting the green in regulation, and then having a pretty long putt. And as I hit my first putt, I left it about 2 feet short. And I'm telling you, I was very nervous. I know when I stood over that putt, I didn't know for sure if I could take the putter back. But, of course, I was very excited to be in that position, and I was able to make it and win.
You're 21 years old, 1978, and then you go on to win five consecutive tournaments on the LPGA Tour, and you won nine tournaments that year. You played in 26, and you won a grand total that year of $189,813. What do you think about these winnings now that these ladies make?
Well, I know at that time I thought I was the richest person that ever lived. As I won, was one of the first to get close to the $200,000 mark after winning nine tournaments. And, you know, since then, I remember picking on Annika Sorenstam just a little bit because just a few years ago before she retired, she won nine tournaments and won $5.5 million. And I did ask her, I said, do you know how much money you won when you won nine tournaments and how much I won when I won nine tournaments? And she kind of sheepishly looked at me and goes, no, I don't. And I said, yes, you do. And I reminded her that she won all that money. And, you know, we've come a long way. Unfortunately, we still haven't picked up the pace with the PGA Tour because they keep moving even more ahead of us with the purses on the LPGA Tour compared to the PGA Tour. But we have come a long way. The purses have grown. Mike Kwan has done a tremendous job in growing our tour back because we were really struggling a few years back with not very many tournaments and we were losing more. And he stepped in there and now we have quite a few events and players are traveling all over the world to play in LPGA events. But it's a good thing. At least they have tournaments to play and they're good quality tournaments.
In 1978, in 11 months, you went from no one knowing you to being the favorite every time you played an attorney. How did you handle that pressure?
You know, when you're young like that, you really enjoy and appreciate the attention that you're getting during that time. It was a very quick growing up process for me, though, because I was very young. And back then, 20 and 21 was very young. It's not like 20 or 21 now where, you know, you're like 40 at that age. So I was very young and just enjoying what was happening to me in my life. And very grateful that I was blessed to be able to play golf, first of all, and then to be able to win. And my dad was able to travel with me and watch me play in a lot of tournaments all over the world. So it was very exciting. And, of course, being able to win money. And I think the thing is, you know, back then it was survival, too. It wasn't, you know, just winning. It was trying to make a living and trying to, you know, get to the next tournament. And at that time, you know, I was fortunate. I started winning very early in my career, but there were so many players that didn't. So the pressure of trying to make money to just make a living and continue your career was tremendous. I was really fortunate that I was able to do that early, so I didn't really have to have a sponsor to help me on the LPGA Tour. I could take care of myself. So, you know, winning at a young age was a lot of fun. It opened a lot of doors for me and gave me opportunity. And it was a great time in my life as a young person.
In 1979, Nancy Lopez won eight more tournaments. Nancy, the typical golf shot takes 1 to 1.5 seconds. That means there's about 1.8 minutes of actual hitting shots in that four and a half hours of playing golf. So it's all mental. Talk to us about the mental side of golf.
Well, the mental side of golf is something that I think you have it or you don't have it. When you look at all the great players that played the game and won, they were very mentally strong. And then you see players that are great players that don't win as much. And I'm talking about great players like great ball striking, really good putters, but yet they just can't quite make it mentally. They either, you know, to me, being positive was so important. I never gave up. If I missed a shot, I couldn't wait to hit the next shot better. if you watch body English and players, they can hit the ball well, and then when they don't hit it well, their whole body language changes. They have to be encouraged by someone that it's okay to hit a bad shot. And my dad always did that. So to me, to watch the players that are really the great players that win, you don't see a change. They play the game. If they play poorly, you don't really know it. Joanne Carner was my idol as I watched her, and I still play with her on the Legends Tour that we play on now. But she could play the game, and you never knew if she was playing good or bad. If she was playing poorly, she was always trying and never gave up. And I watched her the little bit that we got to watch women's golf on TV when I was growing up. But she had that positive attitude. A bad shot didn't bother her. And mentally, you've got to play that game because there's so many great players out there, or really good players, that can win. So you have to be mentally tougher than they are.
We're talking to Nancy Lopez. Nancy, what lessons has golf taught you about life?
Golf has taught me to, first of all, be patient. I know financially, I was able to make money. I had to learn to handle that, too, by having good people that surrounded me and taught me how to invest and watch what I was spending and give me opportunity. Because as a professional golfer, or a professional athlete, you won't make money forever. You've got to take care of what you make, because as you get older, the contract goes away or you don't win anymore, and you've got to still be able to take care of yourself in life. I've made so many great friends in golf. The trophies were great, the money was great, but the friendships that you have and create during those times will be lifelong people and friends that you meet. And I think that's so important. And in golf or any profession, I feel like I've always learned to treat everyone the same. There's so many times that I see someone that's very successful act very successful instead of still being very humbled and very appreciative for what they were able to accomplish. And I think it's so important, as I raised three daughters, that you're not really better than anybody else. You might be better at what you do than some other people, but you shouldn't treat people like you are better than them. And I think that I've seen a lot of that in my career. And what happens with professional athletes, it's important to give back. I do a lot of philanthropy and charity work that is important because I think professional athletes need to do that, and they need to give back because they've been very fortunate to be able to have a great life, make things happen in their life that are very positive. And so to be able to help other people, I think, is very something that professional athletes or people that make a lot of money should do. Giving back makes you feel good. I love to do charity work, and it's my main charity's Aim for the Handicapped. As a matter of fact, it's for handicapped children. And this year I'm having my 35th anniversary doing this golf tournament that I do down at the Villages, Florida. And, it's just fun. It's something that I enjoy doing. It makes me feel good. I know when I go to sleep at night, I feel good about what I've accomplished that day to help other people. And that's what I've learned from golf, is how I can give back and just all the great people that I've met, and how my life has been very blessed to have all of those people and golf and everything else in my life.
If you want to learn more, www.nancylopezgolfadventures.com. We're talking to Nancy Lopez, who's known as the Arnold Palmer of ladies golf. And I'm Jack Brasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Brasula, and we're with Nancy Lopez, who was inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame in 1987. In the last segment, you mentioned three daughters. God blessed you in 83 with Ashley Marie, 86, Aaron Shea, and in 1991, Tori Heather. Nancy, how did you ever balance being a mom of three daughters and a golf professional?
Now that I'm old and I look back, I'm like, I don't know. I think just, youth was on my side, absolutely. But I know when I turned professional and, was competing and then, got married, I was like, I really want to have children. And I had to learn to juggle all that. It was not easy. But I was always been that kind of person that very organized. And I think that helped me a lot because I was able to have children and try and organize my career, my husband's career at that time, and to be able to travel and compete. And Ashley, when she was born, I knew I was going to take her along with me. And we didn't have child daycare at that time, which made it a little more difficult. But fortunately, like I said, I was blessed to make enough money where I could hire someone to travel with me so that Ashley could travel with me. And pretty much juggle that. It was, luggage and cars and hotel rooms and diapers and bottles and all that stuff that was going on when I took Ashley with me for the first time. And it was great having her with me. And fortunately, my husband at that time was very unselfish and let me take her with me. I wanted to be able to raise her, even though I had someone with me, wanted to be able to raise her with a mom that loved and adored her, and then still have a career, because I didn't want golf to stop me from having children. So I had to figure it out. I had to juggle my life and traveling, my husband's life and him traveling. And then along came Erin a little over 2 years later, and she traveled with me. And we still didn't have child daycare till maybe about a year or so after Erin was born. Smucker's, the jelly company, as they always say, came in and sponsored our daycare, and they still sponsor the LPGA daycare because it was tough. I mean, when we travel city to city, not having anybody that you could really depend on and know that could take care of your child, golf was mental, and you had to be able to go to the golf course, relax, knowing somebody was taking care of your child that you knew you could depend on. Now with the daycare, it made it a lot easier for women on the LPGA Tour to say, I can have children and I have daycare out there. So it worked out perfectly. So to be able to have my children with me and traveling was great. Now, when the girls got older and they started school and Tori was born, I carried Tori with me on the tour, and she stayed in daycare, and the other two stayed with Dad and our nanny at that time, so that at least they could have a normal life, as normal as that could, whatever that means at that time, where they could go to school and be with friends. And so, it was always thought about and planned out what we wanted to do with our kids. And for sure, I didn't want my career to stop me from having children. And now Ashley's 31, and I have a second grandchild on the way. Erin's 29 and successful in what she does. She lives in Atlanta. And then Tori, who just graduated from Auburn, they all went to Auburn University, just graduated a few months ago, and she's got a job in Atlanta. So, they're great kids. They have been the best. There hasn't been too much heartache with my children, and I've been blessed with that. But being able to have them in my life and be able to play golf and be successful was, like a blessing for me, absolutely, to be able to do all of that.
You spoke at length in the last segment about giving back. You're coming to Detroit in a week because Clark Durant, Cornerstone Schools, has his 12th annual Turning Point Invitational. The main sponsor is PWC. You came last year and played in this. 23 LPGA pros are coming to help Clark. And as you know, he's got five schools, 2,400 kids, does a phenomenal job. And he wants to start and have each of these kids start to play golf next year. Nancy, talk about what golf can do for an inner city boy or girl.
Well, golf is, first of all, I call it a peaceful sport. It teaches us honesty on the golf course, integrity of what we're doing out there. And not everybody loves golf. when you pick up a golf club, you either love it or you don't like it. There's not really a mediocre golfer out there that says, I like to play sometime and I love it. But I think golf, when I grew up playing the game, it was a great place to be on the golf course, to be able to hit a golf shot, to be able to be with friends, to be able to experience something that you kind of controlled. You know, if you wanted to be better, you had to work harder. For inner city children, you know, most of the, being Hispanic, you know, I know about that, not having money and not really having the opportunity to play a game that's very expensive. And I think for them to want to start golf at Turning Point is awesome. It does build a lot of kids in a positive way. It keeps them off the streets. You know, when you're on a golf course, it's a beautiful place to be. A lot of positive things come from playing golf. It's a lifelong sport. You just learn a lot of things about yourself when you're on the golf course. And I think what he's doing, what Clark is doing with Turning Point, it's awesome. I met some of these children last year, and, I mean, they were just awesome. They sang for us, and it was just beautiful. And like I said, being Hispanic, you know, my dad always told me, no matter what the color of your skin was, as I said earlier, it doesn't matter as long as you have a good heart and you have good work ethics. And having one of my best friends was a black girl that I grew up with, and I loved her to death. You know, it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. It's how you are as a person. And I think what Clark is doing here with these children is to let them know they can do anything in life, and he's giving them opportunity. And I think that that's just tremendous. You know, with school and what they're doing and now sports, it's just awesome to know that there's all these kids out there that have opportunity to be better than what everybody, you know, thinks they should be or shouldn't be, and for them to be able to be great, successful young people and become great, successful adults.
I once was in the White House with President George W. Bush, and we were talking, he and I, about Clark Durant. And President Bush says, Jack, nobody can say no to Clark Durant.
That's probably true.
That is true, Nancy. That is true. If you want to learn more, www.cornerstoneschools.org. Nancy, you get into the PGA World Golf Hall of Fame in November of 89. What was that like?
It was very exciting. You know, my goals were to, like I said, win one tournament my rookie year. And as I started winning, you know, the Hall of Fame just seemed impossible because the criteria was so difficult. But as I kept winning, it kept getting closer and closer. And, you know, it was just a tremendous feat for me to be able to accomplish that. But, you know, I was always a goal setter. I think setting goals is great. And I think, you know, all these kids at Cornerstone, setting goals is what they need to do because they can only be as good as the highest goal they set. And for me, you know, that was what it was all about, setting goals high, not just trying to be mediocre, trying to be the best at whatever I did. And so, you know, always it was very exciting for me to be able to reach that goal and get into the Hall of Fame.
We're talking to Nancy Lopez. In 1978, at age 21, she won 5 consecutive tournaments on the LPGA Tour, went on to win 9 times that year, competed in 26 events, and she won a whopping total of $189,813. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Nancy Lopez. And in 2004, she became the first woman to receive the Francis Ouimet Award for Lifetime Contributions to Golf. Nancy, that's tall cotton. What was that like?
It was a great honor for me to win the Francis Ouimet Award. You know, you try and accomplish things in your life, and when people notice that you have accomplished things in life and contributing to golf, you know, it meant a lot to me. Because I, you know, I want to be remembered that way, contributing to golf, my career, contributing to other people who love the game. And, of course, I've always represented my mom and my dad, and whatever I did in life, it was important that I represented them the best way that I could. You know, to me, being able to be a good person was so important because my dad was such a great person and so was my mom. And to be able to live my life right and do things the way I felt like my father wanted me to and my mom wanted me to was very important to me. And as I won these awards, you know, it's a great honor to be recognized like that. And golf gave me that opportunity.
You've been associated, you've been known as the Arnold Palmer of ladies golf for years. Tell us a couple stories about Arnold Palmer.
Well, Arnold Palmer, I just think the world of him. The first time I met him, I played in the Bing Crosby when I was 15 years old. And I got to play a practice round with Arnold and with Mark McCormick, who Mark was the agent that pretty much started everything with Arnold. They were together when they started his management group, and he became my manager also back when I signed the contract when I was 19. And Arnold was just Arnold. I mean, when you look at Arnold Palmer and what he accomplished in golf and how he was so good with people and his fans. I've done a lot of clinics and outings with him, and just learned to admire him. He was, like I said, so good with people, signed autographs, loved his fans, and I think I learned a lot from him in that respect. As he's gotten older now, I know I've seen him quite a few times, and it's really hard for Arnold because he played golf and he felt like he could play good forever, and you know, when you get older, you just can't do that anymore. And so as I've gotten older with Arnold, I've watched him be very frustrated that he can't play the game that he loves so much the way he used to. So I look at him whenever I'm with him. I said, Arnold, you did your thing, and we appreciate you. Just have fun. Now it's time for us to really have a good time and not have any pressure in trying to play this great game.
The galleries that would follow were known as Arnie's Army, and your galleries were known as Nancy's Navy.
So. I was very honored to be, compared to or right there up there with Arnold. He just, you know, everybody loves Arnold, and to be able to watch him play the game and compete. And as we've gotten older and I've gotten to know him, we both had a golf club company owned by one person, so we got to talk about golf clubs back years ago. You know, just been a lot of fun getting to know this wonderful man. And, you know, getting to still participate every once in a while with him.
If you want to learn more, www.nancylopezgolfadventures.com. Speaking of being loved by everyone, tell us about another such person, Chi-Chi Rodriguez.
Chi-Chi Rodriguez is a character. Loves the game, great philanthropist. Did probably still does stuff for charities. Did some things for me with my charity. But I think the funniest moment for me, because he's got that really strong Spanish accent, we were playing in the One-Day Three-Tour Challenge where it was the LPGA Tour, the PGA Tour, and the Senior Tour, men's tour at that time. And he was in a bunker, and as he blasted out, the ball went in the hole, and he said in that Hispanic voice of his, he said, of course everybody's excited that he hit it in from the bunker, but as he did, he says, I was born in a bunker. And we all just laughed hysterically because it was just the funniest line I'd heard someone say. But he was just a character, and I've seen him recently in Florida because I'm going to be moving down there, and I saw him, had lunch with him, and he's still the same. He has a wonderful wife who hasn't been very well physically, but they're just a great couple, and he still, you know, does what he can for charity, and I think that's great.
He's raised millions for inner-city kids in the Tampa area. Phenomenal. Today, Nance, when you watch and observe Jordan Spieth, what do you think?
It's exciting. It's exciting to watch Jordan Spieth. He is very down to earth. You can tell he loves to play the game, that he wants to be that role model, that person that shows kids that he can go out there and play the game as long as he works hard. think he stands for a lot of positive things in golf, and we need that right now in PGA golf. I think, all the things that have happened to Tiger Woods, it's just really a shame and sad because he was that Jordan Spieth years ago, and now Jordan Spieth is Jordan Spieth, and I think everybody loves watching PGA golf and watching him. You know, Rory McIlroy is great to watch. All these young, this new young generation of players that are coming out playing. It's very exciting, and I love watching him. He just comports himself so well on the golf course, and he's just going to get better and better and stronger. I think people don't realize, you know, he probably didn't hit as far as everybody, but he's only 21, and his bones and muscles are going to get stronger and stronger, and he's going to hit a long way, and hopefully he will keep the same composure that he has now as he gets older and wins more money and has more attention. You know, hopefully he can keep himself just keep himself in that state of mind that keeps him very humble, which is very, very important, I think, especially for us to watch him in PGA golf.
Nancy Lopez, as our time winds down together this evening, what advice would you give our young listeners?
Advice to young listeners is to work hard, go to school, go to college. College is a great place to grow up, and playing collegiate golf for me was wonderful. I only played 2 years, but it was time for me to move on after that. But collegiate golf was tremendous, and school is very important because if you don't make it in your career and whatever you choose as a professional athlete, you have something to fall back on. And, you know, live your life right. Try and make the right choices. My dad always told me if I thought twice about something before I made a decision, I'd probably make the right decision. That's so important because whatever you do in your young life follows you the rest of your life. And for young people out there, work hard, be honest, be true to yourself, and always know that you can be the best you can be and set your goals high.
And I would add to the young people, model your life after Nancy Lopez, the First Lady of Golf. Nance, thanks a million for doing this, and God
bless.
You're
welcome. Thank you.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Pasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohn.
Believe in yourself.